Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and joining me today is a friend of the podcast and freelance sports journalist, Alec Macquarie. How are you, mate?
I'm not too bad, Steve. I'm not too bad. What about yourself?
Yeah, man, I'm good. Busy week from me. And just to note to everyone else, apologies, we didn't get a podcast episode out when we normally do on a Tuesday. Everyone's lives are busy and no one was around to host. But look, we're just me and Alec are just doing a quick one. We're going to do one just to kind of catch up on all the news that and results that have happened over the last week and a half, because it's nice for you guys to hopefully have something before the games in the Super League that are today, actually. So yeah, we'll dive straight in. But before we go into any of the league results, we have to go to Europe, which was a long time ago, but we move on. So I guess the first game we'll start with is your team, Alec. AEK Athens lost 3-1 to Marseille. And so the game started, Vitinha scored in the 22nd minute. Pineda equalised. And then a few minutes after Pineda equalised, Stankovic got himself sent off. Mm-hmm. Marseille received two penalties in the space of 10 minutes, which were both converted by Harit and Vertut to make it 3-1. To the French side in Marseille. So disappointing result for you, Alec, as a fan.
It was, but it wasn't, because there was a big sense of injustice over, well, first of all, the opening goal. AK should have had a clear penalty in the lead up to Vitinha's goal. And then Vitinha himself fouled Vida on the way to tapping in for 1-0. I don't know how the referee missed both incidents, to be honest. And even Vitinha himself, you could see as he was running away celebrating, he was looking around like, how did I get away with that? And then the equaliser, I think they did well to get back in the game. And then Stankovic does something completely ridiculous. And to be honest, the referee had such a bad game in so many ways, because he initially gave Stankovic a yellow card, even though it was the most blatant red card I've ever seen. And from that moment on, it was only ever going to be Marseille who won. So I think it's a difficult one. Marseille definitely should have won, but I think AEK can feel quite aggrieved that it wasn't a fairer contest. And obviously they have the return leg next week at the Hagia Sophia. So we'll see how that turns out. But I mean, in terms of all the Greek teams, it's interesting because all three Europa League sides have got exactly the same points, win, loss, draw. And it's all sort of hanging in the balance a bit. Like any result is possible now. We know that no Greek side is the whipping boy of any group, which could have been the case having looked at the strength of the groups going into it. So, no, I think next week's going to be super important, not just for AEK, but Olympiakos as well. I mean, I'm sure you're going to talk about their result against West Ham.
Oh, we will.
You've got a big week coming up, don't you, Steve?
Yes. Yeah, we do. I mean, just quickly on AEK, yeah, unfortunate result. And you have the return leg, like you said, in Hagia Sophia. And hopefully the crowd will be pumped for it. And the rights will be wrong. But look, just quickly on the whole like whipping boy thing, fair play to AEK. At this point in the group stages, I struggled to see where they'd get points, and they've got four. So credit to AEK. They're keeping themselves in the conversation to even get into the knockout stages. So, you know, fair play to them and good luck on Thursday. But yes, we will now move to Olympiakos, who got a massive 2-1 win against West Ham. As you can imagine, I'm still buzzing about it now. It was a week and a half ago. I still can't believe we got a result. You know, when looking at the group stages, you'd think logically, you know, probably a draw against Freiburg, probably definitely a win against Bakatopola, probably a defeat in both games against West Ham. And of course, we've done the complete opposite of all of those things. And we beat the best team on paper in the group. So Fortunis scored to open up for Olympiakos to take the lead. Beautiful goal. If anyone hasn't seen it, you probably have. But go watch it again. And then Rodney, bit of a lucky goal, but to be honest, we've been so unlucky with some of the chances we've conceded. It was nice that luck was on our side this time. Mm-hmm. And it did come off of, I think was it Angelo Ogbonna it came off
it was,
of?
Yeah.
It was,
yeah.
But I think the goal was eventually given to Rodney in the end. Mm-hmm. So pleased for him. And then we... squeaky bum time in the late stages because Luis Paqueta scored a really, really lovely goal that kind of came out of nowhere. And I was so scared we were going to draw the game after probably, well, not probably, deservedly being in front. So we held on, got the win. Biggest result we've had in Europe in a fair few seasons now, actually. And that puts us right back in the conversation of maybe finishing top two, hopefully. And look, the away game for me against West Ham at London Stadium, which I will be going to, is a free hit because I didn't expect us to get points from either game. And so my expectations are sky high, and I just hope that we put out a good performance because the next two games are against Freiburg away and Bakatopola at Karaiskaki will be the real deciders for where we finish in this group. Any quick thoughts for you before we move on, Alec? Because I could do a whole podcast just on how happy I am about.
I could do a whole podcast on Fortunas's goal. I mean, that was absolutely unbelievable the way he just wriggled through like three defenders and then just bland it in the back of the net. You say it's a free hit though, Steve. I think it's a must not lose game. If you look at the table, only because Freiburg are obviously playing who you expect them to beat, they'll be on 9 points. If West Ham beat Olympiacos, then they'll be on 9 points as well. You'll have a 5-point gap then between both the top two, which means you're going to have to win both your final matches and hope that Freiburg get nothing from their West Ham result, which you never know. I mean, if both of them know that a draw will send them both up, then it could turn into a bit of a, you know, a bore fest. And that's sort of the same for Panathinaikos and AEK as well. Even though AEK at the moment are sitting second, if they find themselves like losing to Marseille and then Brighton beat Ajax, again, they look like they're going to finish third. But if I'm honest, Steve, I don't think it's the end of the world if the Greek teams drop into the Conference League. I mean, you see what PAOK are doing there. They're just making absolute mincemeat of every team they face. I know it was a bit of a thrilling victory over Aberdeen, but away in Scotland isn't exactly a nice place to go. But 9 out of 9 points for them this season. And they reached, was it the quarterfinals a couple of seasons back?
Yes.
I can definitely see a world in which all four Greek teams drop into the Conference League, and then suddenly you've got maybe four in the last 16, which I think you would back at least one of them maybe to get to the quarters or the semis, which would be a fantastic advert for the Greek league.
No, and look, I as a Olympiacos fan, I've said before, the Conference League wouldn't necessarily be the thing that I would aspire the club to be at right now, but look, if we dropped in and we went on a run and got to the final, you know, you'd always hope that I would take that. You know, I would not sniff at a run in the Conference League. And I think it would be good. I think for the coefficient, it would be good if we stayed in the Europa League, and other Greek clubs did too. But like you said, if all four Greek sides are in European competition come the end of the year, that's still a massive win, because we've had years where one Greek side has made it to the knockout stages, or last season when no Greek side made it to the knockout stage, it was just Olympiacos being really rubbish in the Europa League. But yeah, really, really pleased for Olympiacos. And I think when I say about free hit, it's more free hit for me, because I just didn't expect anything. I understand the connotations of not getting a result away at West Ham, at the London Stadium. And I think Olympiacos, you know, there's always a chance. So I look forward to going to actually see my team play live, which I'm excited. Next game, Panathinaikos. It was at Leophoros, actually. Yeah, it was. Lost 2-1 to Rennes. So first it was Guiri, who scored in the 7th minute. And then just at the start of the second half, Kali Muendo scored in the 49th minute. Fortisio Anidis scored a penalty to make it 2-1 to put them back in the game. It wasn't enough. And Panathinaikos lost more shots and high possession as well, Alex. So a bit unfortunate. I didn't catch this game, but just quickly, any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, and you look at the XG as well, and 2.3 to versus 1.5. So like showing that they had a lot of chances. Was it 19 shots and one goal from Panathinaikos? And then you look at what they did against Panzeriakos. at the weekend, like scoring goals for fun. And if I'm honest, Spora had an amazing game that day. It looks like they've kind of turned it around, and their attack this season is something to be feared, but not in this game, unfortunately. Yeah, I thought they were unlucky to lose. I didn't catch the match. I have seen the highlights. They hit the bar in the final minute, and then a rebounded shot had to be cleared off the line. So they could have easily drawn that match, I think. The problem with their group at the moment is because of the situation in Israel at the moment. Maccabi Haifa didn't play their game against Villarreal. I have no idea when that's going to get played.
I think I read somewhere. So I think Cyprus might be used for some games, if I'm not mistaken. That's what I was hearing. But I imagine that's where their home fixtures will be played. Obviously, with the conflict in that area, they can't play at home. So yeah, we'll see. Well, I'm sure more news will unfold for that, particularly because, like you said, Panathinaikos have played their away game. I think they were lucky. They just got that out the way before the conflict started. So,
and that away game might prove a bit costly as well, because they drew that. If Maccabi and Haifa get beat by Rennes and Villarreal like twice over, then it will look like a poor result there. And I think that's almost very similar to Olympiakos versus Bakatopola. You might be ruining that result come the end of December.
Yeah, very much so. I've spoken enough about that game. Lastly, we go to the Europa Conference League. As you entailed, Alec, it was a very exciting game between Aberdeen and Balk. So Aberdeen went to Scotland. Aberdeen is in Scotland. Balk went to Scotland. No goals in the first half, and then second half, Miavisky scored in the 50th minute, and then 8 minutes later, Polvara doubled Aberdeen's lead. Balk were looking almost down and out, only for Despodov to get one back in the 73rd minute, Verinia to score in the 84th minute, and then 96th minute penalty to Stefan Schwab, who converted and gave Balk the comeback win. So amazing result. And as you said, Alec, Aberdeen aren't Celtic and Rangers, but they are a historic club in Scotland. Probably a lot of people would probably say maybe them or Hearts are the third biggest or one of the bigger clubs outside of the big two. So it's not an easy place to go for Balk, but good that they got a result against them, because it puts them, we'll go into the other tables, but it puts them top as it stands with 3 wins from 3.
Yeah, no, Balk are going like a train. I think the Eintracht Frankfurt result obviously has been their standout performance in that competition this season. But I think I looked back at some of the previous seasons for Balk and looked at their group stage results. I don't think they've ever managed above 12 points in a group stage before, and they've got 3 games to go and do that. I think they can. In fact, I'm almost certain that they can secure qualification with at least a draw against Aberdeen at Tumba. So they're looking fantastic, and I think finishing top of the group gets you more coefficient points as well.
For sure,
it will also give them a favorable draw, because they won't have to play the playoff when the Europa League teams get bumped down. So if they can finish ahead of Eintracht Frankfurt, that would be an incredible achievement for them.
Exactly. And I think I at least expected Balk to challenge for top two, Frankfurt being, the best team on paper in that group. So I'm really pleased for them that they've been able to even exceed my expectations for them and be top at this point. And like you said, they're putting themselves in a really, really good position to finish top of that group, let alone top two. And that's all good for the coefficient as well. We need the coefficient to improve massively. So I'll just quickly go through all the Greek clubs groups in Europe. So Group A, Olympiakos, third place behind Freiburg and West Ham in second and first respectively, and ahead of Bakatopola by 3 points. Ajax is still sitting in second, as they have a better head-to-head against Brighton. And Panathinaikos are second still as well, 1 point ahead of Villarreal in third, and just behind Rennes who are on 6 points. And then when we go to the Conference League, Balk, as you said, top of the group, 3 wins from 3, 9 points, 3 ahead of Frankfurt, and looking very, very likely to qualify to the next round, whether that be in the knockout stages or the playoffs. But we hope for the Greek coefficient, it's the knockout stages. So next we'll go to the Super League. And just before we go to the actual fixtures, we'll do a, I guess we have to give a quick update on the Olympiakos Panathinaikos stuff that's happening. So as it stands, Alec, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been reading articles about it on and off all week. So as it stands, there is a pending decision on whether the points deduction and fines, etc., and no fans in the stadium for Olympiakos are reversed. I believe it's Monday. Is it Monday or Tuesday?
I think next week. And yeah, we all know what Greek bureaucracy is like. That could be any day of the week, really, couldn't it?
Yeah, and so that I think if that gets rejected, Olympiakos can then go to the Court of Arbitration on top of that. So this could really last a long time. And look, I've voiced my opinions on this on social media, so I won't go too much more into it. But at the end of the day, I think for me, what I'm taking away from this as an Olympiakos fan particularly is that I'm glad that the team are not letting this affect them, and the manager too has come out and said this isn't affecting us. We're just carrying on what we're doing. And so I'm pleased in that respect. But yeah, let's see what this outcome is. And we'll obviously post about it once it happens, or whether it gets rejected and Olympiakos continue the appeal. So yeah, we don't need to talk about that anymore. I've just got
one little thing to say about it.
Go.
I find it odd that, okay, listen, I don't know whether a points deduction and awarding the win to Panathinaikos is the fair thing to do. However, a fan has thrown a firecracker towards substitutes, and therefore there should be a punishment in terms of, like, the crowd should be punished in some way, whether that's the fan himself or whether that's a full stadium ban. And there was announced a two-game ban, right, for behind closed doors. Mm. The thing is now, obviously, the appeal process is going on, but I think that appeal process is more like geared towards whether the match should be replayed or whether the points deduction should stand. Mm. But the punishment for the fans should still, because the incident has still occurred, and we know that whether or not Wankar is injured or not, we know that a fan threw a firecracker towards the substitutes. However, as an AEK fan, I'm sort of happy about it, because have you seen Olympiakos' next two home games?
Their next two home games. So Balk, as it stands, they do have home fans. So they play Panathinaikos at home, which will probably not have fans. And then after that, we don't play a home game for a while. It's AEK. So it would be AEK in January. Exactly. Wow.
That's what I mean. So I don't know whether you would rather have fans for the PAOK game or the AEK game. I think you would probably rather have them for the AEK game.
I'd like them for both, ideally.
Yeah.
It depends, because it's still a long time, because we've got a lot of away fixtures. So by that point, it depends. If AEK is just behind us come January, obviously, ideally, I'd rather have home fans for that game. But if we have a healthy enough lead on AEK, I don't know how much it will matter. And plus, I think the team will be up for it either way. And I'm a bit more confident as it stands that Olympiakos can take it to AEK, despite maybe some mixed result in AEK Sofia. But yeah, so like I said, we'll see how that result in the courts comes out, and just whatever happens, you know what I mean, I'm at that point. But we will move to the football, which is most important, and the Super League. So I'll just breeze through these results, and we'll pick out the we'll talk more about the main game that happened on the weekend. So I'll just run through them now. Volos got a 2-1 win over Kivishia. So good result for Volos. First win of the season for them. Massively important, because they are having a terrible time of it. And speaking of first wins of the season, Adromitos having sacked their manager. I think they hired someone else. I just need... And let me just quickly check who that was.
It was Chris Coleman who left, right?
Yes, Chris Coleman left. They have Sasha Illich, who previously managed... CSKA Sofia and Cukarecki, actually, and the Serbian youth side. So he's now at Dromido's manager, and got a good first result of his tenure as manager. 3-2 win over Panathinaikos, who are also struggling, and I think are now the No, they do have a win. So every Greek side at least has one win this season now. There we go. And so then we move on. Lamia, massive win away on the road against Asteras Tripolis with a very, very late goal from Zulis in the 88th minute. Next, we have Panathinaikos, who, as you said before, Alec, smashed Panathinaikos 5-0. So,
it could have been more as well. They were really on fire, Panathinaikos, that day.
Yeah, they had double the amount of shots. They had way more pass accuracy, a million times more in just every aspect of the game. Thoroughly deserved win for them. So well done, Panathinaikos. Aris got a 2-0 win at home against Bassianina, so good result for them. And Bassianina didn't have a shot on target in this game either, so a bit of a worry for them. And then before we go to the AEK game, Olympiakos on Monday night traveled to Crete and decisively beat Offi. Offi didn't have a shot on target either. Pedence with the brace. Pedence is Superman. Very pleased for him. And so that was good, despite not having Fortunis or Rodine, who were it had minor injuries, so they were obviously not taken to Crete. So good result for Olympiakos. And now the big one, AEK Athens, 2-0 win over Balk, Alex. I'm sure you're very pleased. Pineda in the first half scored in the 17th minute, and then Eliasson in the 54th minute. From what I heard from our friend Elaine, who is Hellas Football, who's a Balk fan, they were not good in this game, Balk. AEK were definitely the deserved winners of this one.
No, absolutely. No, your sources are absolutely correct. It reminded me slightly of the Man United Man City game, where Man City, even though it was, I say, only 3-0, it's not, you know, a thrashing, but they controlled the game so well. And I think Pauk's first shot came in the 65th minute or the 68th minute, and then their second shot came in the 85th minute, which just shows how dominant AEK was. It wasn't a fantastic game of football, if I'm honest, but it was always clear who was going to be the winner in that match. I think it kind of points to, even though Pauk, and you can see in their quality in Europe, they are still, I think, comfortably the fourth best team in the Greek Super League, which just shows the overarching quality of football in Greece at the moment. And then just to touch on the Offi match as well, that was extremely similar, I thought. I felt like I was watching two games at the same time. Mastouras with kind of, I think Martinez has done a thing this season where Mastouras has been moving a bit closer to the centre, having like come off the wing. And he's working so well in that position. He's such a clever player. He's so flexible and tactically aware. And then you've got Pudence as well, who's just this star quality, which I think you were slightly missing last season. And now with Alexandropoulos and Fortunis and El Kabi, like Olympiakos are a serious threat this season in terms of scoring goals. And as you said, in defence, having Offi not having a shot on target, that's just shows you how dominant. And Offi, by the way, were my picks for getting into the playoffs this season. So I was surprised at how comfortable it was for both teams, really. So yeah, both really good wins for AK and Olympiakos.
Yeah, I mean, with Balk, I would agree with you that look, we don't have a Balk fan here to defend them, so I try not to be too biased when talking about other teams, but they probably are the fourth best team. But like you said, that's not a criticism on them. I actually think this is the strongest top four I think we've seen for a long time. Like the level is so close that it's actually hard to pick. Whereas previously, you know, it was Olympiakos for the most part, and then you'd have maybe a second place by themselves, and it would just drop in quality after that. So it's good for Greek football that the big four are kind of all competing with each other, and it makes it a more exciting product for people to watch if they actually put the effort into promoting it outside of Greece and Cyprus. So yeah, a good result for AEK and Balk. You know, I think maybe it was just the energy they had to exert for in the Europa League game. Maybe that had something to play.
Long journey, right? All the way back from Aberdeen. So yeah, they must have been feeling pretty tired, I imagine.
Definitely. I guess just to touch on Olympiakos, because I didn't say it for the Europa League tie, Jackson Perozo has been so good. I'm so pleased that he stepped up, because obviously Freyes had injury issues that he's not come back from. Doi had his suspension and probably needed a couple of games out just to sort of take a break. And so Retsos has now got a partner that looks like he's capable. And look, he's not the finished article. He's still very young, but Barroso is looking good. And I'm pleased it's like the first time in this season where I've been genuinely comfortable with what defence we have out. So I'm pleased for Jackson Barroso and the midfield three as well. It gives us so much more balance because Maddy, after like the early stages of the season, Maddy seemed to be struggling in the midfield too, even with whether he was with Ibora or whether he was with Heze. And so adding Alexandropoulos in there just makes it so dynamic, and it's so nice because you don't even have to worry about Fortunis not playing in the centre because he can play on the wing and then he just cuts in the centre anyway. And as you said, Pedence, I could just talk about for hours. You know, he's come back from the Premier League with a much more of a cutting edge because he lacked such a... That was the only thing he ever lacked before he left for Wolves previously. He just didn't have... It wasn't... The one thing you could say about him was his finishing wasn't great. Whereas he's gone to the Premier League where he has improved as a player and played at a much higher level and come back and looked so, so good. So, yeah, good result for Olympiacos. Keeps us going in the league. And you know, I like I said, it's a brilliant result for them in the derby against Balg. We'll just go through the table quickly. Panathinaikos top of the table on 22 points. Olympiacos second on 21. AEK third on 20. Balg fourth on 17. Lamia in fifth. So pretty high now, Lamia. Fair play to them.
I've got some words on Lamia later, but you run through the table.
Yeah, yeah. Aris, sixth place on 14 points. Offi seventh on 13. So, you know, playoffs are still very possible in this early stages. Bansaraygos on 9 points in eighth. Ninth place, Asteros on 8. Kifishia on 7. Adromitos and Banadoligos on 6 points. Bastianina and Volos on 5 points. So that's the Super League table. And before we go through the fixtures, quickly have your say on Lamia.
Lamia, yeah, no, I mean, fantastic to be this high. I mean, they're probably the story of the Super League outside the top four. 15 points, obviously, is an incredible results in the last 3 weeks. I mean, they've won three on the bounce now, but I don't see that continuing personally. I mean, their last five matches have been against last season's bottom six, as it were, including the two promoted teams. So Panathinaikos, Kifisia, Panathinaikos, Yanina, and Asteras Tripoli. So that is obviously a favourable run for them, and they've picked up 10 points in the process. But if you look at their next fixtures, they've still got to play Panathinaikos, AEK, Atromitos, and then PAOK. So I don't see it continuing, but to get results against teams who finished above them last season is fantastic. I think Carlitos is a big reason for that, to be fair. They've solved, because they really struggled with scoring goals last season, and not that they've been exactly banging them in this season. They haven't scored more than two in a game. It does show that a bit of quality up front does go a long way.
And as you said, Alec, the first game that we'll talk about in the preview for the Super League games, which are today, actually, is Lamia, who hosts Panathinaikos. Carlitos will probably be up for this. I don't know if if they'll get a win, but look, if the man to get the result for them in this game would be Carlitos against his former club. Kifishia hosts AEK today as well. Tomorrow, Panathinaikos hosts Asteras. Pasiana hosts Volos. Aris play Adromitos Monday, Panathinaikos Offi, and the big one of the weekend is Olympiacos hosting Balk, and there will be fans, like we said, because of the pending court case. So some big games this weekend. Big one, like I said, Olympiacos Balk. I'm excited because considering how Balk played last week, Balk are always up for it whenever they play us, and they beat us at home last season. You know, anything's possible, but I think this Olympiacos side is more prepared for anything than I've seen them in recent years, and I think that as an Olympiacos fan, I'm confident that we can beat them, especially now that we have home fans. But home fans, please don't throw anything at the stadium. Do what you did against West Ham, where there was tifos and great atmosphere without all that rubbish, because I don't want another court case on top of a court case. Imagine, it's just going to be the season of court cases if more things get thrown at players. So please don't throw anything.
Yeah, I expect Olympiacos to win. They look ominous this season. And it does feel like just one of those one of those campaigns where you're just too good for the league. And maybe I'm saying this in order for the opposite to happen, but I mean, your only defeat this season has been in the courts. So yeah, I don't see Park. Although to be fair, having a response to the game against Ike, which I don't think will have pleased the manager very much. And obviously a week's rest as well, potentially could spring a result, but I don't see it happening, to be honest. I think they didn't show enough, especially in an attacking sense, against Ike last weekend to suggest that they'll do the same tomorrow. And then also tomorrow, which might fly over people's heads a tiny bit, is Janina versus Volos. The bottom two in the league. You've got one team who you expected to be down there and who kept most of their squad as well, and you've got the opposite in Volos, who you really didn't expect to be without a win until last weekend, and who have decimated their squad and brought in a ridiculous number of players. And it just shows that I think what Volos needed to do is what Janina did, and what Janina needed to do is what Volos did over the summer. But it's going to be very interesting because both teams have had pretty easy runs to start off the campaign. They've had, on paper, they've had the third and fourth easiest runs, easiest fixtures up until this point. So it's very bizarre that they're both down there. So yeah, it will be a big, if someone can win the match, it will be a big 3 points for either of those.
That's a good one to highlight, actually. And I, for me, I just quickly on them, I didn't expect either of them to be this low down, because Bastianina, you know, have been a very functional team over the last couple of seasons. And I think got to the latter stage of the Greek Cup as well. And Volos, you know, they finished top six, which is something they had been trying to do ever since they got promoted. So to see those two kind of fall like this is surprising, because I didn't expect it to be this bad. And well, neither of them will be competing for top six this season, I can fairly confidently say. But there we go. That's the Super League for this week. And so I guess last couple things we'll talk about, Alec. Firstly, interesting news that came out yesterday. So Gus Poyet, Greek manager, has started flirting with the Republic of Ireland. And basically he said, it was quoted that he was possibly looking at joining them, I think even if he qualifies Greece for Euro 2024, he would like to leave and join the Republic of Ireland and manage them instead. And he said something really weird, which was that his contract expires in March, even though it's very common knowledge that his contract expires on the 31st of December 2023, so not March 2024. So yeah, it's interesting that Poyet at this very crucial time, and also I might also mention that he's suspended for 3 games. So the semi-finals and the first leg of the final of the playoffs, he's suspended for those games. So yeah, it's very strange. And also the last game against France, I just want to, of the qualifiers too. But yeah, very strange from Gus Poyet that he suddenly decided that he wants to flirt with another nation. I think, for me, it's a money thing. He wants Ebor to give him a more improved contract and not risk him leaving just before Greece are about to play a crucial playoff game against, I believe it's Kazakhstan as it stands on paper in the semi-final. So yeah, what are your thoughts on Poyet's flirtation with the Irish?
Yeah, I'm hoping and praying that it's the latter, and that he's just trying to look for some leverage somewhere. It's odd that the choice of team as well, the Republic of Ireland, given that Greece are in the same group as them and beat them twice, and are sitting 6 points above them in the qualifying table. I find that very strange, and the fact that his contract runs out in March is, it just doesn't seem right at all. It doesn't seem like that would be a natural end for an international manager's contract. Hoping and praying that that's a lot of smoke and that there's no actual fire behind it.
Well, see, look, I've not been a huge like Poyet out kind of vocalist. Like I'm kind of, if he qualifies us and takes us to a tournament, I'll be happy, because we've not been in a tournament for so long. But I feel like I do wonder now that Poyet has come out and said that, I do wonder if it's time to maybe start looking elsewhere. Because if Poyet's not fully committed to this, then why should we keep him? Because he's suspended for 3 games. And if he qualifies us, he's saying that he's not willing to stay. And I know that's probably, it's probably a monetary thing. It's probably because he wants the Greek Football Federation to give him an improved contract. But yeah, if his contract runs out on New Year's Eve this year, and he's not willing to kind of see it out, I just think he might as well look for someone else, because any manager would want to take a national team to a major tournament. That boosts your kind of your stock so much. And I think just to qualify them isn't enough. Just take them there, you know? Even if we lose all 3 games, if we get to the group stages, you've taken Greece to a first tournament in 10 years. You know, and I think that it's obviously upset a lot of people who I know. And it's just, yeah, it's weird. It's weird from Gus. Let's see. If Ange Postecoglou could come and take us to the play, as a part-time thing, obviously he can stay at Tottenham, but if he just part-time took Greece to the Euros, I'd really appreciate that.
He could do both, didn't he? I know in rugby league, managers can do international teams and club sides at the same time. And what's he doing over the summer? Surely not that much.
Yeah, well,
I would say though, if you do get rid of Poyet, then who do you bring in? And also,
that's the other problem.
You're so close to the tournament itself. The manager would have what, like a couple of warm up matches to get a feel for his players, and then suddenly he's playing a tournament. I think the EPO should be doing everything it can to try and keep Gus Poyet, in my opinion. And also, if you think about it, I mean, there's a reason that the Premier League hasn't had any sackings yet. No managers have left. And by this point, I think last season, there had been 5 sackings. One of the main reasons is that there aren't that many options out there for clubs to pick up. And I think once managers do start getting sacked, you might see it kind of like a domino effect where suddenly one manager becomes available. Mm. And it will kind of precipitates into this big snowball. But yeah, I think consistency, especially with international teams, is very important. And obviously, Gus Poyet has been working for how long now with the national side?
It's been a couple of years now Poyet's been there. And I think it's my only worry is not Poyet necessarily leaving. Like you said, it is about... it's more about kind of who Ebol would replace him with, because it's not only that there's a small pool of managers who could potentially be good enough for the job. It's whether Ebol are willing to pay for a new manager, because the reason they brought Poyet in, because he was willing to take whatever small sum it was per year to take Greece to potentially take Greece to an international tournament. And so Ebol aren't willing to pay for a top level manager. They're not willing to pay for a top-level manager who is available, that could take Greece to the next level, that could take these talented players that we do have in the squad to a tournament, because they're more than capable of doing it on paper. My worry is not just that Poyet leaves midway through his contract. His contract's going to end in December. But my worry is that Ebo just won't find anyone, even equally as kind of quality-wise as a manager on paper to take Greece to a tournament or even qualify them, because it'd be a huge disappointment if Greece didn't qualify. And it's been, well, 2022 he took charge of Greece, so not ages, but still February 2022. Okay. And just on the Ethniki as well, Ebo also announced early in the week that the Yorgos Gamaras Stadium, which is host to Apo Balon Smirni, will be the friendly be the place for the friendly match against New Zealand. So a strange one there. Don't know why Hagia Sophia wasn't just used, but maybe they thought that they wouldn't get any like a huge crowd at Hagia Sophia for that friendly. I don't know. It's a strange one. I mean, it's not a bad thing that other stadiums are used, but just doesn't seem very consistent. But then that's Ebor. Ebor isn't consistent, as we all know.
Well, maybe it's a money thing. Maybe it's lower rental costs for that match. But then again, you'd probably get less money in because there will be fewer fans there. I think if the EPO want to raise any funds, they could always just up the fine on Olympiacos for the firecracker incident, make it a cool like 2 million or something. And I'm sure we could get a good manager for that price. Yes. You as a Greek national team fan, Steph, you'd be really happy with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was going to say that's you think too positively about Ebor trying to do something constructive, and then after you mentioned Olympiacos getting banned and fined even more, I very much could see Ebor doing that. Not that I believe that Ebor is a bias against Olympiacos, but I could see Ebor doing that at least over, you know. I mean, this is why you need to be in charge of the Greek Football Federation, Alec. And excluding fining Olympiacos, I feel like you'd actually get stuff done. But then anyone would. Anyone with half a brain could get stuff done in that federation if they were given the opportunity to. But yeah, I guess that's everything, Alec, unless there's any lasting thoughts you want to give before we wrap up.
No, just the quote of the week is from the appeals committee president, who I think he said yesterday, this will be a long night for us, which I think speaks to Greek football's organisational kind of problems over the last week or so. It's going to be an exciting week for Greek football, obviously, with the Europe next week and PAOK Olympiacos this weekend. I'm really looking forward to all of it.
Yes, and so thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And please keep supporting us on social media, because we really appreciate all the support you've given us over the last few months, especially since we hit 10,000 followers on X, it's formerly Twitter. And we really love what we do, and we really try our best to put stuff out there whenever we can. Because as I said at the beginning of the podcast, people's lives are busy, but we love Greek football. So we love to kind of create content for you, whether that be the podcast or posts or vlogs or whatever. So, and also, yeah, support the podcast. Recommend it to anyone who wants to know about Greek football or just loves football in general. And please leave us a 5-star review on any podcast platform that you listen to us on, because we are on a lot of them. And lastly, Alec, thank you so much for joining me again. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
No, thank you for having me, Steve. Thank you very much.
And I guess we'll definitely have an episode early next week for all the results in the Super League, and we'll preview Europe as well. So we'll catch you guys then.